But you know what? Today's it's a special day today. It's a special day for many people here today. We have seven special saints. Those who are born again are considered saints in the kingdom of God. So we have seven special saints with us today, and they're taking a stand. They're taking a stand. They're identifying, they're wanting to identify publicly as Christians. They're wanting to say, here I am, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, I'm going to get dunked in this water, and I'm going to say, here I am His, and He's mine. You know, sometimes accepting Jesus, though, it's something that may be done in private. Now, when you actually receive Jesus as your Savior, it may have been something you've done in your living room. It may have been something you've done in the bedroom, whatever it may have been. I know that when I was born again, I was young, and it was my dad. He led me to the Lord. And then probably a few years later, I got baptized. I think it was 1978. Some of you in the room were not born in 1978. But in 1978, I was baptized at the Baptist Church in Sparling, Illinois. Pastor Chuck Shipman was the pastor there. To me, it was a big deal because I knew something important had just happened. And the Bible talked about being baptized. I was a Christian. I wanted everybody to know that I was a Christian. And when I stepped out into that tank, now the way we did it, it was a church stage like this. You had a room over here. You had a room over here. You had the baptismal back there. You go in there. You climb up the stairs. You hope you didn't slide down that fiberglass tub there and land on your back in the water and dunk yourself to begin with. But we went down in there, came back up, left up out of there. I got a Bible. It's called the Way Bible. I probably wouldn't teach out of it, but it's what they gave me at the time. And I still have it. I have it on display back in my office here. But it meant something to me. And I knew that by making that public declaration, now everybody knows. My being born again might have happened back here in my mom and dad's bedroom, my dad leading me to the Lord, but when I stepped up into that tank, I wanted to say, man, I am His and He is mine, and I want everybody in the world to know about it. Romans 1:16 says in I'm going to have to read the Voice translation here. They'll put something up there. It says, for I am not the least bit embarrassed about the gospel. I won't shy away from it, because it is God's power to save every person who believes. If you look at it in the New King James, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. Some people say, well, it's hard to be a Christian. It's hard because I got these friends and people, they're doing this. You know what? It's not hard to be a Christian. It wasn't hard for me to be a Christian working in the prison system all those years. Initially, I didn't want to follow my Christian, what I love your neighbor, for about the first three years that I was there. But when God comes up to you, you ever had somebody come up to you and hit you in the back of the head, said, wake up? Well, I was walking down one gallery in North Segregation. Poof, I got hit in the back of the head. And he said, I died for them just like I did you. And I'm like, oh. Okay, well then I looked for opportunities to minister while I was there, and this isn't in my sermon, but there was one individual, Ollie Staten was his name, he was dying, he was an inmate there, he's dying. I'm working in the hospital one night, and the Lord told me to go in there and share the gospel, the good news with him. And so I walked up to the room, and three times I went back and forth to that room, and finally the Lord said, well, do you believe it or not? And so I went in there. I shared the gospel with him. He accepted Jesus as his Savior, lying in that hospital bed. 3 days later, he died. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I'm not going to be ashamed of it. I never let that happen again. Some of Jesus' last words that he said to his disciples were these threefold instructions found in Matthew 28. And we're going to look at Matthew 28, verse 18. If you're saved, if you're born again, then you're a disciple. So these words are to you as believers. He says here in Matthew 28, 18, it says, and Jesus came, and we're talking about baptism here this morning. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Disciples, go therefore and make disciples. Share the gospel. As a believer, we're to share the gospel. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Whoo! baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. And in Mark 16, 15, is saying something similar, says he to his disciples. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. To every creature, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. But the threefold instructions he gave us in Matthew 28, it says, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're to go, we've given a commission to go and share the gospel with people. We've been given a commission to go, and people are to be baptized. And then we're given a commission to go and disciple those people who accept Jesus as their Savior. Teach them what just happened. As Christians, as believers, that's what we're supposed to be doing. I would say that the church world is okay at that today. But man, if you're not ashamed of the gospel, you're looking for every single opportunity. When I go into Walmart, I'm going for, what's that stuff called? Them little packets you put in your drinking water and you shake it up. Just so you know, when you put those in your water and shake it up, if you put it in cold water, it leaves chunks in there. So lukewarm, anyway, you don't need to know that. But when I go into Walmart, I'm thinking, I see a person. My thought is, I wonder if they're born again. I wonder if they know Jesus as their Savior. Lord, give me an opportunity. Open a door. It's a perfect stranger. What do you think? How are you going to get a chance to talk to them? But I ask the Lord, give me an opportunity. They may come to me and say, hey, do you know where such and such is? Well, I sure do. Here, let me take you to it. And I look for opportunities for conversation. And my conversation is always looking to share the gospel with somebody because I know personally that is something that transformed my life. I was somebody who would not speak in public until I was almost 30 years old. I was 30 years old. My wife here in the green shirt, Carrie, raise your hand. She's right there. She did all the talking. I was the kid who hid underneath the kitchen table when I was 5 until company left. I was the one who never spoke in public. Like I said, she always did. Well, I got an awakening. God met me one day, and he said, okay, now it's your turn. So now when we get together, I said, oh, it's my turn now. I'm talking here. I don't do it like that. But I got bold in what it is that the Father put inside of me. He put a message inside of us. He's put a message inside believers that we're to share with those who don't know it. And then once they receive Jesus as their Savior, it's like, whoo! I mean, I almost shouted right there. Somebody's going to have to stop me from shouting here in a minute, and I don't think you can. But anyway, but it says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So as a believer, your job, your purpose, what I don't know, I just don't know what to do with my life. Well, let's start here. Go into all the world and preach the gospel if you're a believer. I don't know where my life is going. Well, he said go into all the world and preach the gospel. So as a believer, that's what we do. And if for no other reason we baptize just because Jesus said so. But we're going to look at a bunch of examples here where the gospel was preached and immediately they were baptized afterwards. I want to get it to a point here that when we preach the gospel here in this place, we've always got water in the tank. So as soon as somebody accepts Jesus as their Savior, we're going to put them down there, watch them bubble for a little bit, and then bring them on up out of the water. And then we're going to have a change of clothes back here for them. So you can go on home. I believe it's important that when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we let everybody know about it. And that's where we're going to get to. But obedience is a characteristic of the follower of Christ. Like I said, in Matthew 28, 20, Jesus said, we should teach believers to observe everything I have commanded. So as believers, we're to teach people the gospel. We're to instruct. The New Testament and church history seems to indicate that baptism served as the initial profession, outward act of what just happened on the inside. Now we're going to look in Acts chapter 8. We're going to talk about Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch who was a government leader. And we're going to read a little bit about him and about his conversion. And it's in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Yeah, starting with 26. And I love the way this drama plays out. Now, when I read the Bible, if you come here often enough, when I read the Bible, I don't read the Bible, well, the Lord Jesus said that we should be going. Now I'm like, yeah, let's read the Bible. Pay attention to the exclamation marks and all those types of things. It says, As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down to the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. Under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. So he was a government official. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside his carriage. So Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? The man replied, How can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news of Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop. And they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So Philip preached the gospel. Philip preached Jesus. And when we talk about Jesus, you know, Jesus was baptized, just so you know. John the Baptist baptized him, took him down to the Jordan River, grabbed a hold of him, dunked him under the water, brought him back up, and a voice comes from heaven and says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus was baptized. So Jesus, that's part of the gospel. So the gospel to the eunuch, he preached to the eunuch, he had to have taught baptism to go along with it. Otherwise, why would the eunuch say, well, here's some water, why can't I be baptized? He wanted to make a public declaration. Here's a government official, important government official, saying, I want to be baptized. I want people to know that I belong to Jesus now. We're going to look at Acts chapter 16. So Philip is teaching about Jesus being baptized. Philip probably taught about Matthew 28. Philip probably taught about Mark chapter 16. He's just reading the Bible. He's just teaching the Bible. And the eunuch wanted to be baptized. In Acts chapter 16, verse 14, I'm giving you a bunch of examples that this is normal. This is what we should be doing. When somebody is born again, man, we should want to make a public declaration of it. In Acts chapter 16, verse 14, it says, one who heard was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Paul was preaching the gospel to her. Paul was telling her about Jesus. And it goes on here to say, and after she was baptized, so Paul must have been telling her about Jesus. Paul must have been telling her about being baptized. And it says, and after she was baptized, so she must have heard that message and got baptized. It says, after she was baptized, and her household as well. Mom got baptized. Kids got baptized. Whoever else of her family lived in that household got baptized when they heard that gospel message that Jesus came, God sent his only son from heaven to earth. He lived a life here on this earth, showing us perfection, showing us the way to the Father. He went to the cross. He got crucified on the cross. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He went to heaven. He's up there preparing places for those who believe in him. He's made a way that if we accept him as Savior, we can spend eternity with him in heaven. These seven people that are getting baptized here this morning, and there's many others in the room as well, they're going to heaven. And I'm sure they would like as many people as they know to go right along there with them. And it's the gospel message. It's power. But it says, and after she was baptized and her whole household as well, she urged us saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. In Acts chapter 16, we're going to look at Paul and Silas. Now, Paul and Silas, they were just going up to pray one day, come across this girl who just kept following them around. She had this evil spirit in her. And she would even say, these are men of the Most High God. I'm doing my Most High God. But anyway, these are men of the Most High God. And she got on Paul's nerves. And finally, Paul said, turned around and said, come out of here, you evil spirit, you unclean spirit. Because what she could do is she could tell the future. And she brought a lot of financial wealth to those who dealt with her. And so they got all mad at Paul and Silas here, and they snatched them up, and they brought them before the people. They started beating them with rods. They're going to throw them in jail. And so eventually they did throw them in jail. So we're going to start here in verse 22 in Acts chapter 16. It says, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, all because they cast a spirit out of this girl, but also took away some financial gain. Money will do some crazy stuff if you let it. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them in the inner dungeon. It's like I worked in a prison. You had prison, you got general population, then you got segregation, which is the prison within the prison. And clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Man, they just got beat with rods. Can you imagine getting beat with a rod that's probably about a half inch thick? Beat with that, and then about midnight, all of a sudden you start singing. Got some praise and worship going on. You start singing, you start praying, and the other prisoners were listening. And then it says, and then suddenly there was a massive earthquake. And the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Whew. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He went nuts, is what he did. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted, stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all here. What? The doors are open, foundations are shaken, your shackles are off, and we're still here? Okay. The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in this household. They shared the gospel. They shared that Jesus came. They shared that Jesus lived. They shared that Jesus was crucified. They shared that Jesus was raised from the dead. They shared that if you accept Jesus as Savior, you would go to heaven with him. You would spend eternity with him. And they must have shared baptism because it says here, even at that hour, the night of night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he, the jailer, and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. You see a pattern here? The gospel was shared of what Jesus came to do. He rose from the dead, made a way for us to have communion back with the Father as we accepted Jesus as Savior, and then they were baptized. It's kind of a pattern going on here. And it says here, he brought them into the house and set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. They rejoiced. Any believers in this place here this morning? We rejoice! Yes, because we believe in God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm sure if I called on a few people out here right now, they'd jump up and they'd shout with me. I know one that would for sure. Terry, you rejoice!
Yes!
Yes! And I about fell off the stage. All right. This step didn't used to be here, and many a time I would... Now come off. But man, we rejoice because we believe in God. We're not ashamed of the gospel because it's power. We're not ashamed of the gospel because I know that my Lord watches out for me. I know that He protects me. I know that He cares for me. I don't have to be afraid of what man shall do to me. Any weapon that's formed against me will not prosper because He is with me and with me always. Romans chapter 6. We're going to start with verse number 3. It says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into His death? We are buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Baptism symbolizes that as Christ died, He was buried. We're being buried in this water. He rose again. And as we're buried, as He was, and we rise out of that water, we're new. We walk in newness of life. We're different. That old us that went down into that watery grave, that old man, that old sinful life that we live, man, who knows, there may have been somebody in here that lived a pretty rough life. I didn't. I was a good boy. No, you know what? I tell people, I was. I was really a good kid. But until I accepted Jesus, I was a dirty, rotten sinner just like anybody else. I wasn't going to heaven just like the worst person you could imagine. I still wasn't going to heaven. But the tank that these seven are going to go down into to be baptized is literally a watery tomb. They've already accepted Jesus as their Savior. They're brand new. But this is publicly saying that old me is being buried. And when I come back up, I'm coming up in newness of life. That old man, it's staying down there in the grave. I'm coming back up in newness of life. I'm changed. I'm transformed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man, anyone, any woman is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things, the old you, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new. And when you get born again, the old you is dead. He doesn't exist anymore. But wait a second. When I got born again, I liked ice cream. Before I got born again, I liked ice cream. And I'm born again. And I'm born again now. I still like ice cream. Some of the things that you may have done, you're born again, baptized, all that, come back. You may still struggle a little bit with some of those things, but that comes with renewing your mind to the Word of God. That comes with knowing who Jesus is and what He's done. And as we renew our mind, the things that we used to be, the guilt that we used to carry around, He's saying, forget that mess. You're new. And when we start believing that, man, it doesn't matter what we've gone through. I know people who are preachers to this day that have been through some stuff. I know one preacher that when he got born again, he was out of a job. Lost his job. After he got born again. Well, he was a drug dealer. And he lost his job when he got born again. He hasn't went back to that job since. He's been a pastor for over 40 years now. One of them that I look up to. One of them that I call if I've got a question. One of them that I respect his advice. One of them that I watch his YouTube videos back here. He lives in Belleville, Illinois. I've known him for a long time. But I respect him. But the old guilt that he may have carried around because he was a drug dealer, and I think some of the statute of limitations hasn't run out yet, so he's... But his old life that he lived, he was raised in newness of life. He renewed his mind to who he was in Christ. And now that life that he lived, he doesn't even think about that anymore. That's not even who he is. He's dead. When they're going down here in this grave, this watery grave, they're symbolizing that old man, he's going under the water. We're burying him. That's not who we are anymore. We're coming up. We're a new man now. And we want everybody to know that. And when they get baptized, nobody's going to cry. We're having a funeral today for these seven. And you know what? If there's somebody else here that wants to be baptized, you may not have a change of clothes. Come on. We got a towel. We'll dry you off. You can get baptized here this morning. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. I'm going to give an altar call at the end of this service here. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you want Him to be your Savior, you want to know, you want to have an assurance that you're going to heaven. If you got family that's being baptized here today and you're not a believer, you want to make sure you spend eternity with them, man, come on down here. We'll get you born again. Jesus will do a work in you. But nobody's going to be crying but the devil. He's going to be crying crocodile tears. He's going to say, I lost another one. Carrie's sister, she died a few years of cancer and was in a hospital over in Peoria. And Carrie had talked to her, led her to the Lord, but then there was another lady, Rhonda was her name. This other lady's name was Rhonda. And Rhonda came in there and she said to Carrie's sister, said, we got some business to take care of. Because she didn't know if Mindy was born again, going to heaven or not. And Mindy was in pretty bad shape. I said her name. I didn't want to say her name. I keep doing that. So she wasn't ashamed of the gospel. It was a room full of people. I don't know how many people were in there. But it was a room full of people. And she started sharing the gospel with Carrie's sister. Pray with her to receive Jesus. And as soon as she said, amen, her sister says, did you hear that? And we said, no, we didn't hear anything. She said, it sounded like a door was slamming and it was angry. I'm like, okay. So I go out in the hallway and I said, Lord, what does that mean? It sounded like a door had slammed and it was angry. He lost another one. Satan lost another one. He was mad he lost another one to the kingdom of God. She accepted Jesus as her Savior, and he's like, I don't like that. I'm crying about it. He's crying crocodile tears over that. I lost another one. That's what we're making a public declaration out here today. They've already accepted Jesus as their Savior, but publicly they're saying, woo, dead man down there, woo, new man up here. I'm excited about it. I need some people to get excited with me. Yeah. Carrie, you getting excited with me?
I'm excited.
Destiny, woo! Are you excited, Destiny? There we go. All right. Verse 4 in Romans chapter. Oh, my clock's gone. So I guess I can preach as long as I want since the clock's gone. Give me a countdown, Carrie. She gives me the KISS. Anybody know what KISS means? Keep it short, silly. Now, some people don't say silly, but anyway. Anyway, so verse 4. It says, just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We're talking about going down in a grave. That's our past. We're burying our past. And when we come up, that's our present. We're new. We have a new life. That's our present. And then it also talks about our future in verse 5. It says, for if we have been united with Him in death like this, like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Set free from sin? Yeah. I still do stuff wrong. Well, you know what? Now we have an advocate, Holy Spirit. And it says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, if we confess the things that we've done wrong, He's faithful and just, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I always kind of look at it as a whiteboard. You can write on your whiteboard. Maybe I'm getting too old school because I think they have, everything's electronic now. But when you write on that and then you take and you wipe off that dry erase, it's nice and clean again. I mess up. I got all kinds of scribbles on there. I mess up. Forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. I repent. And he says, okay. Wax on, wax off. Anyway, does all that stuff there? Brand new again. Start all over. Then don't keep doing it. If you repent, when the Bible talks about repent, you're going one way and you repent, you turn and you go the opposite way. You don't want to keep on doing that. But if you do it again, 1 John 1:9 still applies. Okay. Once for all, but the life he lives it to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. All this ties, we're tying this to this baptism tank here this morning. You know, what he's saying is, not only is your past taken care of, not only have you been come to newness of life in the present, but he's saying, I'm taking care of your future. You're born again. You're acknowledging me before men. I'm taking care of your future. Man, come on. You qualify now. You qualify to spend eternity with me. Well, some people will say, well, that person, they're a good person. Well, a good person won't get you to heaven. Well, he's done all kinds of good deeds. That won't get you to heaven. Accepting Jesus is the only thing that will get you to heaven. Now, I don't have mine on right now, my wedding ring. Oops. But I'm using my wedding ring as an example. My wedding ring has gotten small. Large, not small. I think right now I'm at like 76 pounds I've lost in the last year and a half, something like that. So I got to get my ring resized. But the ring is an outward sign that says I belong to Carrie. Now, you have your ring on? Oh, she's got her ring on. I feel guilty now. The ring doesn't make me married. You know, we have a certificate, marriage certificate. We've lived together as husband and wife for 41 years. We did it before God. And like the Bible says, that I left father and mother and cleaved unto her. Well, what in the world does cleave mean? Does anybody really talk like that today? I don't. I like to take a lot of Bible lingo and make it to where we're at today. So what does cleave mean? Cleave means to, I'm glued to her. I'm joined to her. I'm stuck to her. Stuck to her. It's like we're one. But it says here, her and become one flesh. That's what made us married. The ring doesn't make me married, but it shows publicly that I am married. Being baptized doesn't make you saved. Really? Well, being baptized doesn't make you... You can go down 25 times as an unbeliever and come up 25 times as an unbeliever and you just got wet. Maybe you needed a bath. I don't know. But you just got wet. That doesn't make you saved. That doesn't make you born again. There's nothing magical in the water. Only accepting Jesus as Savior will make you saved, will save you. And that's in Romans 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Baptism doesn't save you. This is what saves you. Openly declaring Jesus as Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's what saves you. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. That's what saves you. Baptism, just like the ring, is the outward declaration, is the outward showing that of what I just did here in Romans 10, 9, and 10. Jesus is our Savior. And we're going public. We got 7 people that are going public here today. 7 people. I told him to fill that tank a little bit deeper today, too. I want water to slosh ever. I want to water the lawn with the water splashing out of that tank. But we got 7 people making a public declaration here today. They're saying, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe." We're speaking that loud and we're speaking it boldly today. I'm going under the water, I'm bearing my life to sin, and when I rise up, I'm going to open up my eyes and I'll have a newness of life in Christ. Making that public declaration. Now, we're not done there. We got saved. We got baptized. But you don't get saved and get baptized. You just go off and live your life. You got to hook up with a body of believers. you got to hook up with a local church. Because why? If we go back to Matthew 28, and it talks about discipling, it talks about teaching, it talks about helping, it talks about encouraging. That's what we're here to do. And if we look here in Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to start at verse 23. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering the hope. What's the hope? The gospel, that gospel message that got on the inside of us. Let us hold on to that. I don't want to let go of that. I don't want it to be a 3-day later syndrome. What I call that, I'm all excited. I've gotten a glimpse of God. I'm just excited about it. And day two, yeah, I'm excited about it. Oh, I got a glimpse of God. And day three, whew, what are we having for supper tonight? Anybody ever asked that question? Somebody said they ought to invent a restaurant that's called I Don't Care. Maybe they have one. Anyway, but it says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another. So he's saying, hang out. You guys need to hang out. Once you become a believer, you need to hang out with other believers. Motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do. So he's telling us, get together. Come to church, hang out in each other's houses, whatever it is, get together with other believers to encourage one another, because some people aren't doing it. They come, they get born again, they get dunked in the water, and then they go off by themselves. They're a bunch of lone rangers. There should never be a lone ranger in the kingdom of God. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. Especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I'm going to look at one more passage here. It's in Acts chapter 2. One more passage that will only take me an hour and a half to get through it. No, not really. Talking about being baptized, talking about hanging out with one another. We've gotten born again, we've gotten baptized, but the Bible's talking about hang out with one another. The Bible also says, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So if you hang out with people that are doing wrong things, you might have gotten born again. You might have even got dunked in the water out there, made a public confession. But if those are the people you're hanging out with, the Bible's saying don't be deceived, you're going to start acting just like that again. And you want to, not that you can't associate with those types of people, types. I got friends that aren't believers. Not that I can't associate with them, but they're not the ones I hang out with. I hang out with the believers because I want to be encouraged. But it says here in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, and it says, Peter just preached probably the greatest sermon, one of the greatest sermons in the Bible. Who, by the way, Peter was one who denied Jesus 3 times and came back. And God said, come on back. I don't care what you did. Come on back. It says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received the word, the gospel message, were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 people were baptized that day after the gospel message was preached to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. It was important for them to continue to meet regularly. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as any had need. They looked out for one another. That's what I'm saying. When you get born again, you get baptized, you got to connect with a local body of believers because we're here to help one another. I can name this body here. I can name a number of people that they've helped, seeing people get back on their feet. Continuing to help people get back on their feet. They're born again. But that's what we're here for. In verse 46, it says, so continuing daily with one accord into the temple, they kept on hanging out together. These believers kept on hanging out together. They stayed in a local body there. Man, if you don't have a church, I invite you to come to this church. We like to have a good time here. We got people who care about it, people here. And we're looking to grow the kingdom of God here so that we can reproduce what Jesus did for us. continuing with one daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and with the simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Even more people came because they saw the transformation of the lives of these people here. They heard the gospel message. They received the gospel message. They were baptized publicly, stating that they had received that gospel message. And the Lord added more people to their number daily. Seeing people go underwater and bringing them out again is a special thing for me in ministry. We were talking about it. I actually listened to a song. Brandon Lake, C.C. Winan, I Know a Name, listen to that song. It talks about dead things coming to life. And before we knew Jesus, we were dead. Dead to the things of this world. But when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, we were raised to life. And I'm excited about that. To me, I told the guys back there this morning, it's not about people coming to this church. It's not even about this building here. Although I want people to come to this church, I want people to meet in this building here so we can encourage one another. For me, it's about seeing lives transformed and changed. For me, it's about seeing people making a public declaration saying, I stand with Jesus, and I know He'll watch out for me. And we all get to be a part of this journey here today. These that are being baptized today are making their direct declaration, saying, this is my testimony. Some of us may have come. Let me put it this way. Our stories are not the same. One may have come from something extreme, other not so extreme. But Jesus welcomes all. He welcomes all. I came to Him, like I said, I was a good kid. I still do what my mom tells me to do to this day. She more times asks today, but back then she told. But I still do what she tells me to do today. Because there was something awakened in me to where I just believed the Word of God too, where it says if you obey your parents, it says you'll live long here on the earth. Now, it doesn't just apply to teenagers right now. If you're 60 years old and your mom and dad are still alive, you're still to obey your parents. That's a whole nother sermon. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And I mentioned here earlier, there's anybody in this room here that has never accepted Jesus as their Savior. And they would love to have the assurance that when they left this earth, because we're all going to die unless Jesus comes back first, but when we leave this earth, we want to have that assurance that we can spend eternity in heaven with Him. If you want to know that you serve and you've accepted a God that said that you're when you accept Him, you're burying that old you. That old you, that's in the past. That person is dead, and you're being raised in newness of life. You're being raised to the point where you're saying, I'm a different person. If you want to have the assurance that when you die, you're going to heaven, but when you receive Jesus as your Savior, that you can still live for Him here on this earth and be blessed by Him here on this earth, if that's you and you want to have that assurance, if you want to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to come on down here. Bible says, I'll not be ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God. I'm going to ask you to come down here to the front, and I'm going to pray with you, and you're going to receive Jesus as your Savior, and your life will be changed, you'll be transformed, you'll be different. We don't want to be shy about it. If you want somebody to come down here with you, whisper to the person next to you, if you'll go, I'll go. and you'll receive Jesus as your Savior. Your life will be changed from this moment on. I'll wait just a few seconds here. But it's the greatest decision that I've ever made. I walk in His favor. I walk in His blessing. I'm not here just to consume it all of myself. I turn it back to Him and give Him glory for it. That I can live a life as an ambassador for Him here on this earth, sharing His gospel unashamedly. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank You for this morning. I thank You for the celebration that it is. Father, I thank You that we are excited about these seven, and whoever else may want to jump in the tank too, but for sure these seven that are making this public declaration saying, I belong to Jesus, and I don't care who knows about it. Father, You said that if we acknowledge You here on earth before man, that You would acknowledge us before Your Father in heaven. But if we deny You here on earth, You'll deny us before Your Father in heaven. Man, God, they're making a declaration saying, I'm publicly saying that I belong to You here. So we can have the assurance, we have the knowing that their name is being spoken into the ear of the Father this morning. And we give You praise and we give You glory for it. And we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.